inspirational songs every Sunday morning on Radio Africana.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with the host here, Ricardo Bezalel. And that song which has just finished playing there is called The Scepter of Righteousness, and is sang for us by the Sounds of Ruth and Boaz. Our discussion today comes from the book of Romans chapter 10, and we're beginning to read from verse 1. It says, Brethren, my desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, now I could paraphrase that and replace Israel with the Christian church and say, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for the Christian church is that it might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, so the problem with Romans chapter 10 is that it was addressing the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, who were the custodians of the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. And now the New Testament has come. They're still clinging on to the prophecies of the Old Testament, which were talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, our King of the New Testament, But that year, now that he has come, they failed to recognize him. They failed to bow down to him. They failed to venerate him. They failed to accept him. Their hearts were closed. And this is exactly where much of the Christian church finds itself today. Because they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And how do they do this? They do this by misunderstanding the concepts of the Old Testament. And when they misunderstand the concept of the Old Testament, they are seeking to re-establish the Levitical order of worship and the Levitical order of divine service. But that order was replaced by the New Testament order, in which Christ Jesus is the high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 25, where he says, because they were high priests before, but they all died. But this one, which is Jesus, because he lives forever, he's got an unchangeable priesthood. Yeah, the order, the priesthood, which is in the order of Melchizedek, which is unchangeable. But the Christian church today is still going back to the old Levitical order and bringing back to life again and wanting to establish the Levitical priesthood again, despite all that which Jesus, the Messiah, has already accomplished for us. And this is where the problem is. That is why the prayer here is that my desire and prayer to God for the Christian church is that it might be saved. Because if you are following Moses and you're doing the things of Moses of the Old Testament and putting aside the superseding principles of the God of the New Testament church, Jesus Christ, then you are outside his scope. You are outside his remit. You are outside his mandate. You are outside his parameters. You are outside his sovereignty. You are outside the terms of reference which will enable you to be saved. Because without having his own spirit within you, you cannot say that you are saved. The fact that you went to church, you go to church and you grew up in church, or you got a church uniform and you go to church every Sunday, it does not necessarily mean that you are saved. You can still be unsaved and still do all those things, because the outward appearance, the things of the outward nature, have got nothing to do with the spiritual, which is what the New Testament is about. The New Testament is a spiritual testament. We know that when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said in John chapter 1 verse 29, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." You see, so Jesus came, was born in the manger to replace those sheep which were being sacrificed. He was born in the manger specifically to tell the animals that you young ones, you fake ones, I am the real lamb of sacrifice now. I am the real animal of sacrifice. I have come to replace you. That is the reason why he was born in the manger. Of course, the scripture says because there was no room in the inn. But there is a hidden meaning to why he was born in the manger. He was born in the manger because he was coming to be the animal of sacrifice, to replace all the animals which were ever sacrificed by the Levitical priesthood and by the old temple order, from the temple of tabernacle of Moses all the way to the tabernacle, to the temple which Solomon built, and to the high priests which were there at Jesus' coming. So all those kind of things, they were replaced by Jesus. So you can no longer bring a goat, a sheep, a heifer, a turtle dove, whatever you might want to bring, because Jesus was and is and continues to be the ultimate sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice for sin, because Jesus has done it all. So don't even fool yourself, my friend. So by going back to the Levitical priesthood, and even some pastors now, they call themselves the Levites, and they are collecting the tithe, they're asking people to follow the issue of the Seventh Day Adventists, for example, the Seventh Day worship, and the convocations of Israel, celebrating the festivals of Israel, which were in themselves all about what? About Jesus. They were all talking about Jesus. The Feast of Tabernacle, Shavuot, the Passover, and all the festival of Booths, Sukkot, Shavuot, you name them. They were all to do with the coming of the Messiah. They were storytelling about when the Messiah come, what is going to happen. So we see that if you go to a church today where you are being told that you got to be paying the tithe, The problem with that is that you are not in the New Testament order, and therefore your zeal for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So if you are paying tithe today to a minister or in your church, you are actually guilty of what Romans chapter 10 verse 3 is talking about. You qualify here, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and being going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto God. And from verse 5 he says, for Moses describes, well, verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, even in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But what do the scripture, the pastors of today say? They say that whosoever shall not tithe shall be ashamed. They go on to say, it says, for with the heart many believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And they say that for you show your believing with your giving of the tithe unto righteousness, and by your money, by your giving 10% of your income, you shall experience salvation, financial salvation, your health salvation, salvation in so many departments of your life, because you are doing this thing. And it is so wrong, my brethren. It is so wrong, because if they say that if you say that people shouldn't tithe, then how is the church going to be maintained? How is the church going to be built? How is the church going to be this or that, this or that? They go into accounting mode. But do you know, my friend, do you know, are you aware that in Exodus chapter 35, beginning to read from verse 5 there to verse 10, it talks about the building of the first church, the first Old Testament church, the first tabernacle which Moses built. Do you know that that church, that congregation, that building was not built by tithe? It was not built by Moses receiving tithe from the people. No, the first tabernacle, as costly as it was not built by people giving tithe to Moses. It is not true that Moses built the first tabernacle and sustained it through tithing and all that. No, the first tabernacle was not built by through tithing. The it says in Exodus 35 verse 5, he says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. You see now, take from among you what? An offering unto the Lord. An offering, not a tithe, an offering. And then he says, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. You see? So, Exodus 35 verse 5 tells us that the tabernacle of Moses was not built using the tithe. The tabernacle of Moses was built using free will offering. For people who, it was built by people giving out of a willing heart. And that is what they did. So, this what they are saying today, that the church needs to be built, the church needs that, the church needs that, and it cannot be done without you tithing. It's not true, because by them doing that, they are retaining you to the Old Testament Levitical order, and by doing that, it means you don't believe that Jesus ended the law on the cross of Calvary when he was crucified on the cross as the Lamb of Sacrifice, which takes away the sin of the world. He ended the law of Moses and took it out of the way and replaced it with himself as the new law, as the new book of life, as the tree of life, as the giver of life, as the prince of life. Jesus is now everything and everything you can ever think of. He replaced Moses. He replaced the Old Testament. He replaced Aaron and the Levitical priesthood. He replaced the temple order. He replaced everything of the Old Testament was replaced in the body of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of the New Testament Church. He replaced it all. There is no need for you to go back to the Old Testament, because by so doing, you are trying to establish your own righteousness, as the book of Romans chapter 10 was telling us, that you being having the zeal of God, but you are doing it ignorantly, and you are going about to establish your own righteousness, and you are not saved as long as you are doing that. So you can see that Exodus chapter 35 verse 5, take from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering unto the Lord, gold and silver and brass. You see, that Exodus 35 verse 5 corresponds directly with the 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on verse 7, which says that every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, this is how the New Testament church is built, exactly the same as how the church, the building of the tabernacle of Moses was built. There is no contradiction, my friend. There is no contradiction. The first tabernacle was built by free will offering. The church of Christ today is built by free will offerings as well. So there is no contradiction there, because when you go then about to establish your own righteousness, remember the second temptation, the devil said unto our God, Jesus Christ, he says, bow down and worship me, and if you do that, I'll give you all this wealth. You see, and you hear the second temptation being venerated every day, you know, every Sunday. You see people going to the front, the pulpit there. They say, oh, you know what? Since I started tithing, you know, everything is now going good for me. I got a promotion at work. I've got to buy a new car. Now I have a new house. And I thank God I was skeptical about tithing before. But now because I've started tithing, all this is happening. My children are healthy. I am healthy. Promotion at work. And I got married. And whatever their testimony is, it's all to do with material things. Exactly what the devil said. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things and their splendor, for they've been given unto me. You see, so when you bow down and worship the Old Testament order, what you are simply doing is, remember, according to the book of Jude, we know that when Moses died, the devil came to try and claim his body. Yeah? He came and tried to claim his. What was happening there? It was a prophecy that when the law of the Old Testament order has ended, the devil is gonna come and take it for himself and change it into his own use to deceive the people. And that is exactly what has happened. Look at all the religious laws of the world. Look at the majority of the Christian church. They've gone back and re-established the body of Moses, the dead body of Moses again. They are pretending as if they got it from the angel Michael. But the angel Michael said to me, may the Lord rebuke you. You see, so in the end, the devil didn't take the body of Moses, though he was attempting to do so. So even today, the devil is attempting to take over the body of Moses, which is the Old Testament, the dead body of Moses, which is the, the Old Testament, which was replaced at the cross of Calvary. The devil is trying to take that, but he cannot succeed to take that, because the God of heaven, in his grace and in his mercy, he will always bring the true gospel, which is going to tell people that, you know what, the tabernacle of Moses was not built by tithing. The tabernacle of Moses was built by free offering. So even today, the church of today is also built by free will offerings, not by tithing. Because when you start tithing, what you're doing is you're going back to the Old Testament. You're trying to revive the dead body of Moses again, and you're doing the devil's bidding, because that is exactly what he wanted to do, and the angel Michael stopped him from doing it by calling upon the name of the Lord to stop him. So why do people continue to want to tithe? Why? Because of the effect of the second temptation. The devil says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all this splendor, because they hear these testimonies from people, and they say, oh, if that's what the effect is, I would rather do that. I would rather start tithing and do this and do that and give first fruit offering and give my tithe, because I hear other people who are doing it that their issues are now better, their finances are now better, their health has improved, their money in the bank has improved, they've got promotion at work, they got married, they got this, they did that, they bought a house and they bought a car, they went on holiday, you name it, all these material things are happening. Why? So those testimonies about people who are tithing, who are now seeing things going for the better. They think, oh, right. But it's a false narrative. It's a false positive. It's a false direction. It's a gimmick, you know. So I am saying to you, my friend, that what you are lacking at this time, why you are so obsessed with tithing and you feel so afraid that if I don't give my tithe, then something horrible is going to happen. For a start, that's the first evidence that you are doing it out of fear and not out of the love of God. Because if you were not doing it out of fear, you wouldn't think that, oh, if I stopped tithing, then it means that then it means that something bad is going to happen to my house, to my family, and to my job, and in all sorts of things. You start imagining all these narratives, negative narratives, fearful narratives, because you stopped tithing. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption, by which he's not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit himself testifies with our human spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, so it's not about your suffering. It's not about that maybe you will not get promoted at work. Listen, it's got to do with the spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14 going forward. But he's given us the spirit of adoption. We are adopted. We are adopted into the kingdom of his dear son. You see, so, but if you are living in a fearful life, what you need, my friend, to be successful, what you need in order for you to have money, what you need in order for you to prosper and come out of poverty, is not to tithe. Because when you start tithing and you believe that by tithing, then you're going to come out of poverty, what you are simply doing is you are subcontracting your own responsibilities and your own accountabilities to an event that you took 10% of your income and you gave it to the church. And therefore, by so doing, you're going to have prosperity. You're going to have success. You're going to have money in the bank. You're going to come out of poverty. That is a false narrative. It is not true. It is wrong and it is fake. You have got a responsibility to do in order for you to come out of poverty if you have to. The thing is, listen, if you say that in order to tithe, then you prosper that way by tithing, what about men who have got millions of dollars in their bank account and they don't even know what to do with the money? How are they going to worship God? You see, the gospel should be uniform to everybody. It shouldn't be a gospel which applies to the poor person in Abuja, or the poor person in Cape Town, or in Sierra Leone, or in Addis Ababa. No. Anybody, anywhere, the poor person in London, the rich person in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, the rich people in California, they should all hear the same gospel, and it should still apply regardless of their bank balances. You see, but if you are to say that the gospel only works for you if you pay the tithe, and then God is going to do wonders for you, he's going to prosper you, and so forth. What if you are already prosperous? How is the gospel going to help you then? You see how fake this is? So, your responsibilities to come out of poverty, my friend, is that number one, you need a skill acquisition. You need to focus on a high value skill that can give you market rewards. You see, go train something. Go learn to be a gas fitter, a plumber, an electrician, a tailor, a shoe repair. You go learn a skill. Yeah, you got to have a skill acquisition. Don't try to shortcut the process by saying, if I tithe, then I'm going to be prosperous and I'm going to have money in the bank. No, go acquire a skill. improve your communication levels of interacting with people. Because if you then come up with a product or a solution within your community, how is your community going to know that you've got a solution for them if you are not good at communicating? So communication is very vital to the skills acquisition as well. So you got to know that improving your communication skills can increase your professional value by at least 50%. You know, because if you are a plumber or you are a gas fitter or an electrician and you don't know how to communicate to people that you've got this skill and you don't know how to to value your customers, it's going to be a problem for your business to prosper. Even though you are tithing at church, still you're going to have got this problem. So tithing at church is not a shortcut to wealth. If you forget everything we learned today, just remember this thing. Tithing is not a shortcut to wealth. Yeah. So we said, in order for you to start the mindset of getting prosper, to prosper financially, materially, you know, acquire a skill. So skill acquisition, number one. Communication, number two. So then you got to see yourself, value yourself. Give some value within yourself, what's called the asset mindset. You have got to see yourself as an asset, that you are an answer to someone, you are an answer to the problems in your community, you are a solution provider to something that is happening in your community. And if you see the problems in your community and you think like, okay, there is no this, there is nothing this, there is nothing that, but I can't provide these things now because I don't have a skill, go acquire that skill, come back and see yourself, view yourself as a business. So you got to upgrade your equipment, which is your knowledge, and instead of letting it depreciate, you see. So as you are doing that, avoid what's called the debt trap. You know, stop borrowing money to do things you don't need. Stop borrowing money to do things which devalue, you see. So in order for you to come out of poverty, tithing is not the solution. These things I'm saying to you now, my friend, are the actual solution. So you find that people who are poor, they often depend a lot on credit cards and loans and borrowing and doing things which they cannot afford, and they enter into debt, and then the interest upon that debt starts pressing them down and they can't be free from it. And that's a big problem. Because if you've got a lot of debt, you can't even finance your way to school. You can't even learn anything. So you need to start living below your means. Live below your means. So you got to maintain a modest lifestyle. There's no need to go buy flashy shoes and flashy clothing and a flashy watch and expensive jackets and all that when you can't afford them because you're poor. Live below your means, and by doing that, you are actually saving. Then you then start putting a bit of money on the side. And if you are to start a business, start small. Even to acquire these skills, you start small. You don't need a lot of money, thousands of dollars to start a business. What you need is consistency, to do something consistently so that it builds slowly, slowly, slowly. And if you start early, even the better, you see. So start small. Time is the variable here. The earlier you start saving even tiny amount of money, the more time that this money has got in order for it to work for you. And as you do that, you can put some money aside to save for you to go to school, to acquire a skill, like I am saying, whatever you are capable of doing within your capacity. Train yourself, upgrade yourself so that you've got a professional reference which you can do. And when you do that, it gathers momentum. And as it gathers momentum, it will enable you indeed to start having a bit of a breather in having a bit of money, which you can then use to finance and build a foundation which is stable, instead of just relying on tithing, because tithing is not a shortcut to getting out of poverty, but training yourself and getting a skill is what you need to be doing.
And we're going to go to another song, and again it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us, "There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus."
Mm-hmm. Now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Establishing today that the issue of tithing as a way out of poverty, which has been peddled in the churches for so long, is a very false and untrue and a deceptive narrative, and it has got nothing to do with our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the New Testament Church. He is a jealousy God, and He will not allow you to mix between Him and the things which He came and finished on the cross and buried them and put an end to them. Colossians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, they both talk about the end of the law, that it was taken out of the way. He took it out of the way. He replaced the Old Testament order, nailing it to the cross. And when you read on Romans chapter 8, when He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, He has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak. What the law of Moses could not do, in that it was weak. What the law of Moses could not do, in that it was weak. Through the flesh, God, sending His own Son on account of sin, He took it out of the way. He has established that righteousness. Is now fulfilled in us. The righteousness of God is now fulfilled in us. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to be carnally minded, what does that mean? It means you are going back to the carnal testament, which is the Old Testament.
amongst all the other myriad of things of what it means to be carnally minded. Going back to wanting to re-establish the Old Testament order is a form of being carnally minded. And if you are in that fashion, if you are in that manner, the problem is that you are not saved, my friend. As we have read before in Romans chapter 10 on verse 5, you see that they being zealous for God, the being zealous of God, have not established the righteousness of God. So you are zealous and you want to show that you are indeed zealous for God, but in so doing you are disqualifying yourself. So he says that for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. But now you are trying to be saved by following the laws of Moses and by tithing and paying the first fruits and things like that. And we said, don't take the ruse that the church needs money. No, the church doesn't need money. What the church needs is the true gospel. And when the true gospel has come and is there, and you got, you know, the separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you give according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he has purposed in his heart. How do you establish that purpose? You establish that purpose by knowing what is required, by knowing what is the project at hand, by knowing what is the budget required. So if the budget needs 50,000 to do something and you give $5, then you are not serious, because that is not according to the purpose. So what's your purpose when you give $5 for something that needs 50,000 and you know you can afford more than $5? Then you are not being honest, isn't it? You are not being a player. You are not being a team player. You're wanting others to do it. But what about you doing it, you see? And this is where the modern day pastors think like, oh, well, if we don't force people to bring the 10%, then they will just bring $5, $2, $1, and it's not going to do anything for us. So we better tell them it's 10% of your gross income, and then we got more money coming in. And by so doing, they're taking you back to the Old Testament. You are now establishing your own righteousness, which is not the righteousness of God. So what does the scripture say? When you read in verse 6 of Romans chapter 8, says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Knowing that Jesus has done it all, knowing that Jesus has accomplished everything we shall ever need to do, is the life and peace. So you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid and following these carnal manipulations of men of today who are after money and not after your salvation. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see now, if you are in the flesh, you wanting to run with the Levitical order of divine service, that thing was destroyed at the cross of Calvary. The Old Testament was buried at the cross of Calvary, and it cannot be revived back to life. When Moses died in Deuteronomy 34, God buried him, you see. But the devil had come to try and obtain that body for himself. And we said earlier that it was a prophecy that when the Old Testament order has been put to rest and stopped and taken out of the way, it's going to be a shell there, but the devil is going to come and regurgitate the law of Moses into something else. And we're seeing that across the world today, the law of Moses is being manipulated into this kind of law, this kind of religious law, this kind of religious law. But all those things are not of the New Testament order. The New Testament order is the order of divine service, is that this Jesus, the God of heaven who became a man, is the one who died and put an end to the Old Testament order, the law of Moses, and all its regulations and statutes. He put an end to them. The principles of life which are contained in the Old Testament, they continue, of course. But the presentation and the attainment and the realization of them are now centered on the resurrection of the King of the New Testament Church, Jesus Christ. So the principles of purity, for example, in marriage, purity in thought, purity in life, is you can't say that's Old Testament or that we can live like prostitutes and do whatever we want today because God, the Old Testament is dead. No, you cannot talk like that because those are principles of life. We are talking about the laws of divine service in the temple order. You see, we're not talking about the principles of life. No. Purity in marriage, purity, no sex before marriage, purity in marriage, and things like that. Honoring your parents and being a respectable person and all those things, they continue. You cannot say they are of the Old Testament. No. Those things continue, my friend. Those principles continue. What we are talking about is the order of divine service, which was instituted at the temple of the Old Testament. But how the morality of our people lived. No, you cannot change those ones. You cannot change those ones. Those ones continue, and they continue under the guidance of the parameters of the New Testament scriptures. But the order of divine service of bringing the tithe to Aaron and having a blood sacrifice at the temple, that's what we are saying, that those things were replaced by this ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus himself. His body was the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. And therefore, you can no longer bring a sacrifice to God of any kind. The only type of giving which God now accepts from you now is you bowing down yourself spiritually. Your spirit man is the tithe unto God. Your spirit man be wholly given to the worship of the true God, Jesus Christ, the King of the New Testament Church. So your tithe, your 10% is your human spirit, truly, fully committed to worshiping Jesus, the God of heaven, in spirit and in truth. And that is the true tithe. It's not financial. Financially, you give as you have purposed in your heart. And if you want to come out of poverty, tithing is not a shortcut to coming out of poverty. Tithing is not a road to prosperity. Tithing is a road to heresy. Tithing is a road to things which are not of the New Testament. Tithing is a road to disrespecting and bringing into disillusionment what the God of the New Testament Church, Jesus Christ, has already accomplished for us. So what we are saying, my friend, is that even though your father, your mother, your uncle, your granddad, your great-granddad were tithers, and you say, I will continue with this thing, we are saying to you, my friend, that you have got a zeal for God and of God, but really you are going about trying to establish your own righteousness, and you are not saved in that manner. So the things you need to do in order for you to come out of poverty is knowing what the scripture says. And on verse 9, it says, or Romans chapter 8, it says, from verse 8 says, Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you are in the Old Testament, which was a testament of the flesh, you cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is not his. You see, the scripture is calling Jesus God there. It says, but ye are not of the flesh, but of the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. The spirit of God has got to dwell in you. And he says, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So Jesus is the God of heaven who became a man, which means the God of heaven, whilst he was still seated on his throne, he proceeded out of himself and sent his own word into the earth, onto the earth to interact with humanity. And that word which came from him, he called that word his son. So when God speaks, the word that he spoke, whatever proceeds from him, he calls it son, right? because a son has got the ability to reproduce after his father, the same seed as his father has got. So Jesus came as the sperm, as the seed, as the instructions for life, which is why in Acts chapter 3 he is called the Prince of Life, because he came as the code for life. So when he rose again from the dead, he then ascended back into heaven. But the third part of him was coming out of him again and proceeding out of him, which is what we call the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit is still the Word of God, is still the sperm of God, is still the instructions for life, because Jesus was only declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 1 verse 4. That is how we know that Jesus is the Son of God, because he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of holiness, which is the Holy Spirit. And even so today, in order for you to claim that you are a believer, you need to have been raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit of Christ, who is now in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the righteous position of God, the same one throne where he proceeded out from before he was crucified. So I am saying to you, my friend, that in order for you to come out of poverty, you do not need to be tithing in order to do that. You need to acquire a skill, and you need to see yourself as an asset, and you need to stop getting into debt, and you need to live below your means, which means you don't go buy flashy material things which you cannot afford, which are gonna just put you into more and more debt. You buy fashionable trainers for $200 when you don't have any skill at all, which you can actually pay $200 to be trained on how to fix mobile phones, for example. Yeah, you could then start getting some money out of fixing mobile phones because you paid someone to train you, and there you are. Instead of buying expensive trainers, you've got a skill now. Yeah, and you can start earning some money. You all sorts of things. You can repair umbrellas, you can repair shoes, you can be a plumber, you can be an electrician. So instead of spending money on worthless things, acquire a skill, and money follows problem solvers. But you cannot solve problems in your community if you don't have a skill, and when you don't have that skill, you start complaining against God that God doesn't love me, but these other people are tithing and I don't have money to tithe, and how is God going to bless me? No, you've got it all wrong, my friend. You've got to have emotional discipline and habits. Yeah, keep avoiding keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with the neighbors, keeping up with those in the street, keeping up with the fashion of the day. You don't have to live your life like that, spending money you don't have in order to impress people you don't even like is a recipe for permanent poverty. So, you know, you got to learn what's called delayed gratification. Yeah, the ability to say no to a small pleasure of today for a significant gain tomorrow is a primary differentiator when you are trying to build wealth. You see, even in relationships, the ability to say no, yeah, delayed gratification, yeah, you can say no to sex before marriage, you can say no to adultery, you can say no to fornication in order to preserve yourself as a pure person, who then when you enter into marriage, you're not bringing all sorts of junk into your marriage, and you're not gonna bring forth the bastard children because you defiled yourself because you couldn't just wait. You just wanted to have this. You couldn't have the power to delay the gratification, and it wasn't even a gratification if you think of it. So, you got to then identify what is called the cycle of competence. So you got to stay focused. Yeah, you got to stay focused. Stick to what you understand. If you are, if you look at your abilities. Yeah, what are your abilities? What are you good at with your own hands? What can you do? What can you do? You know, what can you build? What can you put together? Even if you say, okay, I've never done it before, but I think I can do this thing. Yeah, keep focused. Keep focused. You know, understand the economics of that industry in which you want to enter and do. Yeah, you got to understand and read up about it. And when you do that, then you know that you are going to be going to approach your life with a pure heart, instead of approaching your life grudgingly, instead of approaching your life with bitterness, instead of approaching your life with maybe if I do this, God will have favor, he will remember me. If I give this to the man of God, maybe if I do this, maybe. You are entering into witchcraft now. Yeah, it's no longer faith, it's no longer belief. You are now thinking, if I do this physical thing, then it's going to cause this to happen. There is nothing like that in poverty, in wealth creation, my friend, and coming out of poverty. You got to have singleness of purpose, to have that focused mind. If you got a pure, if your heart is pure in what you are wanting to achieve, it means that you have got an undivided heart. Yeah, to be focused on one thing without hypocrisy. So, in financial terms, the poverty is always sustained. Yeah, you keep in poverty because you are distracted by so many things. Yeah, Martha, you are distracted by so many things. Jesus told you, but Mary has chosen that which shall not be taken away from her. You see, so don't be distracted by so many things. Focus. The principle, if your heart is divided between long-term freedom and short-term status symbol, you will remain stuck and it's no good for you. The action you need to do is that you need to purify your financial goals. What is it that you want to do? Remove all the noise of consumerism and focus solely and entirely on the single objective of building a sustainable foundation, which is going to help you to gain weight financially. So you got to approach that with integrity. Wealth built on deception is only a house of cards. You got to have a pure reputation of honesty and reliability that makes you see opportunities that can come your way, and you provide solutions correctly without disadvantaging anybody. You see, so treat every transaction, every workplace interaction with total transparency. When people need to trust you, if you're going to set up a business, you should be a person who can be trusted. And don't cut shortcuts because you want repeat customers. The secret to business success is repeat customers. But if you cheat your customers today, they're going to find out that you cheat and they're not going to come back again. But you need people to be coming back and back and coming back and back again too. So a pure heart views resources through the lens of stewardship rather than entitlement. Yeah. So if you're going to remain in poverty, what is going to happen to you is that you are going to reinforce the scarcity mindset. Yeah. I don't have, therefore I'm going to keep this on. You're going to cling to small amounts of money out of fear instead of actually investing that money into a skill, investing that money into education, you know, not just education, you know. How can you do, for example, you do what, theater or maybe sound engineering in these days of AI, of artificial intelligence? How are you going to compete with those things? Yeah, you better do things. You better need to do an education program, which is a solution provider to your community. That is the start. Look at your community. What problems are there and what skill can you gather in order for you to be able to, I often hear people say, I don't know what to study. I don't know what I can do in order to make. No, you know what to do. Look in the community where you live. Wherever you live, go around in your community, speak to people, see what's going on, understand the community, the country, the people among which you live, and see where problems are, and start thinking hard what kind of and asking God for wisdom to see what it is that you can do in order for you to be able to come out of poverty. Because if you provide a solution, money always follows problem solvers. So what you need to be doing is you find a way to try find a way around these poverty things. You need to what's called the stewardship budget. Yeah, you got to ensure that every bit of money you have is saved for a higher purpose. Yeah,
don't just do impulse buying. Somebody selling this, you buy that, you don't even know whether you need it or you don't need it. You need to have clarity about how you spend your money. So you need to also clear your mind of this mental pollution. You know, keeping a pure heart protects you from toxic influences. Those escaping low income must protect their financial environment by not just buying whatever you need to buy without thinking. So you become like, so you look at your friends. What kind of narratives do they always talk about? Yeah. So if you live among people who always talk about poverty, it's difficult, you can't do anything, there is no hope, you also not gonna have any hope. You need to come out of such kind of people. So you need to find people who have got a pure heart and who are hopeful and wanting to do things to provide a solution to the community, and to find ways to help the community be better. And by doing that, money follows you. So you need to surround yourself with individuals who value growth, who value delayed gratification, and who value financial literacy. If you do that, you will find that things will start getting better for you. So you go to start with the small gains, which are always better than large ones, because if it is large and dishonest, eventually it's gonna come to an end. So because sometimes you can't do it forever, you see, because eventually it will catch up with you. So you got to have a pure in heart approach in your value system, in becoming a person who is capable of handling wealth. If you don't do that, then it's gonna be a problem, my friend, because things are always happening around you. So what you need to do is that don't follow the gimmicks at church, because they are not telling you the truth there. The truth is that Jesus is the only savior of all of humanity, because he's the only one who died as the lamb of sacrifice for all the world and went to hell, defeated the devil, came back to life, and is now the high priest and king of the New Testament church. And his new title now is called the Prince of Life. And what he wants to do is he wants to resurrect your human spirit from the death of Adam. And in so doing, in that process, he will also give you ideas on how you can be a solution provider to your community. And when you are a solution provider to your community, money will always follow problem solvers. And when that happens, you need then to when in that process, what you need to do is what we've been talking about: have principles, acquire a skill, have a mindset of success, don't listen to people who have got no hope, you know, filter all the noise, because poverty always creates a scarcity mindset that clouds judgment. But purity of us means stripping away these distractions and impulsive gratifications to focus on a long-term vision. When your intent is pure and singular, you stop chasing after get rich quick schemes, because you start building a get wealthy slowly foundation. That's what you need to do: get wealthy slowly foundations. Get rich quick is the tithing format, but get rich slowly is you go to college, you go to acquire a skill, learn something, do something about your life, my friend. So purify your budget, remove the excess that mimics wealth but creates debt. If the heart is pure, it does not need the validation of luxury items you cannot afford. Yeah. Train in the dark, which means train in secret. Use your 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. time of the night to develop the expertise that your 9-to-5 job cannot give you and does not even require. So it's like David training himself with the slingshot, isn't it? He was training himself with the slingshot to fire those stones, and eventually that training with the slingshot is what enabled him to bring down the giant Goliath. So face the giant, confront your largest financial hurdle. Usually it's a specific debt or a lack of specialized certification. You don't have a skill and you are in debt, yeah, with the confidence of someone who has already done the work in private. So true wealth is the result of a prepared character meeting a disciplined strategy. Without a pure heart in these things, my friend, wealth is easily lost. Without the heart of, like, the heart of David, opportunity is never seized. And I'm saying to you, my friend, the time is now to realize that you don't be cheated. The time is now to realize that the way to wealth is not in tithing, but in you doing the principles of wealth according to the Bible scriptures themselves. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on rodofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
On Radio Africana.
Basically gets me into the mood of whatever I'm doing.
On Radio Africana.
The best radio station ever.
Yo, I heard about that.